Hi, hello, and welcome to today's podcast on powering the cloud applications. Many of us would have built applications in the past. We would have followed some of the core engineering principles in building these applications. What we have been doing in the last several years, can we continue to follow those same principles when we build out the next generation applications? The impulsive answer is, why not? But if we have to take a deeper look at it, the answer is absolutely not. So to elaborate more on this and to get an insight on why those principles which took us till here will not take us in the future, let us relook the period during which these principles were formed. So some of those elements which are commonly available to us today were a privilege, were a rarity or a luxury in the past. I had known stories that people used to optimize the Fortran code just because they didn't have sufficient memory. And COBOL programmers lining up with their punch cards to process their jobs in the mainframe world. None of us are relevant today. And similarly, during those days, it was absolutely fine when your applications on the green screen took some amount of time to give you the response, whether it is an online response or a batch response, doesn't matter. But in today's world, if your application is slow, Google will not even list your website in the very first or second page. And similarly, the end users, they are so restless. So if your application is slow in responding, even by few seconds, they have other options. They can easily switch over. So now we are talking about two contrasting ecosystems. In one ecosystem where slowness was accepted and where memory was one of the chief factor or a primary factor which determined how you code your applications. Right, and the other environment where the user experience and the performance are blended into one single entity, and factors like memory is no longer a differentiating factor, because today for a few cents you can save, store gigabytes of data in your cloud. So when these two environments are contrasting to one another, how do we even say those design principles which were built in yesteryear will be relevant completely in the cloud era as well? Doesn't make sense. So in this podcast, I like to enumerate few such thoughts which had got a 180 degree makeover in the cloud ecosystem, and I also invite my audience to share their experiences, to share their thought process on what they think had got changed and had come into an existence in a completely new format and makes things different, right? So let's jump on to the podcast and start discussing about those ideas. So let's get started. The very well-known concept of database normalization. I believe all of us had been heavily sold on it, the three normalized form and the benefits which we acquire by implementing them.
It's an age-old concept which had been very religiously followed, though not to the perfection. I have not come across any single production database which has 100% complied with all the three normal forms, but it was always an endeavor to reach to the goal. Now, the objective of this normalization form was mainly two things. One is to preserve the data integrity and to reduce the redundancy. Now, data integrity, we need to preserve it. There is no going back on it. But when we consider about reducing the redundancy, it made all the sense when, again, space was a premium. But now when storage is very affordable, I believe we can shake it up a bit. In simple terms, we need not blindly adhere to this normalization, but we can cut corners without impacting the integrity of the data, but at the same time helping us in yielding a better performance. So let's consider three such cases which are being in common practice in the cloud ecosystem, wherein they were able to bring out a larger or an improved performance by making some tweaks to the normalization concept, rather by denormalizing it, right? So, three scenarios. Scenario one, assume that you have multiple tables which you need to join to do some arithmetic calculation and to bring out a result. So basically, you will take the column 1 from table 1, column 2 from table 2, and do a simple addition on it, and then that results will be a part of your query. A very simple use case, and we would have seen it as a textbook example of applying joins. We all know that when we do joins on a table, it impacts the performance. Basically, it slows down. The join may be effectively returned, you can optimize that query, but nevertheless, join reduces the performance. There is no second thought about it. Now, in this denormalized world, the solution to such problems is, they are saying that, okay, if you want to do some arithmetic on a certain columns on few tables, why don't you do it and keep it as a separate table and start querying it? Now that means the base data should remain static for a good amount of time so that this derived table, which has the outcome of all this arithmetic calculation, makes sense. So if you are running an application where your base data doesn't change so frequently and you have a set of queries which are often run to derive these results, it makes all the sense to create a table where all these calculations have been done prior to your actual query execution. I definitely hear you when you say that, hey, what happens when I change the base data? Yeah, it is going to affect this table and it needs to be updated. So that is the trade-off which we are talking about. So if I consider any application, normally the inquire queries or the select queries will form 60% of it and the update queries will form the rest of it. Certain times the ratio is as good as 70-30. So that means for my 70% of the queries to give a better performance, I am ready to slow down on the 30% of the queries which normally does updates, right? So what it means here is I will go ahead and create a table where all this calculation will be done upfront and my queries will directly operate on this derived table so that there is no joins and the results are much faster. But whenever there is a change to the base data, it has to reflect on the derived table as well. So that means that you might need to write a trigger, you might need to call for a procedure. Yeah, it still makes sense because you are getting a higher performance. Extending the same concept, if I have multiple tables and I have to join all the tables to form a meaningful result, will it make sense for me to take a non-key element and augment it to one of the tables to avoid this join? It is strictly against the concept of the normalization, but it works. Say, let me give you another simple example to illustrate this. Say I have a table called employee, wherein I have a employee number, employee name, and the project code. And there's another table called project, where I will have a project code and the name of the project. Now, if I want to print out a report with the employee name and the project name in which he or she is working on, I need to join these two tables. And these two tables adhere to the normalization concepts. But what I'm suggesting here is take that project info and put it in the employee table as an additional column. That means that now the project info has to be maintained in both the tables, not a clear-cut case or not as per the guidelines of the normalization, but it is okay. Now, if I have to get this report, I need not join two tables. What I gave you is a very, very simple example, but just think about millions of records and some complex joins, which will run for several minutes. Can you cut down on the time by just padding the tables with few additional redundant columns? It works. It works like a charm. The third case which I'm going to suggest is something which we have been assuming for a very long time. Don't hard code values in your application. It's a very, very poor programming practice, or it's a design, it's not a good design practice. But what I'm going to say is, if you have a very small lookup table, rather than keeping those values in a table and making a join, go ahead and hard code it in your application. It works. It reduces the join. But I'm not trying to tell you that by doing all these three items which I just enumerated as an example, there is no trade-off there. There is a trade-off. When you hard code your values in your application, yeah, you are cutting down on the unnecessary joins, but it also means you have to maintain your code. Whenever there is a change in this base value, the reference value or the lookup table value, you have to go ahead, make the changes in the code and probably compile and link it. Maybe in the CI/CD world, that is much easier done than in the mainframe world. So yeah, there is a trade-off, but there is a convenient path for it. And similarly, when you store an additional column in a table, that means that you need to be aware of the data integrity issues which might creep in. So you might need to make an extensive documentation on where are these extra columns being padded, and you need to have a path on updating it and keeping it current whenever you update the base data. So that means that some additional process kicks in. So there is a trade-off, and updates will be going slow for obvious reason, because now the data is stored in more than one location. So it is not that you achieve all these performance improvements without any trade-offs, but is it worth? Is it what your application will help you in retaining your customers by giving them a better performance? These are the choices which you have today, and believe me, applications are leveraging it, right? And these are just the tip of the iceberg. I can keep enumerating many more such things, like avoiding the transitive dependency, that is a third normal form. But I will say establish a transitive dependency so that you can cut down a reference to an entire table. So if you have to, if a table 1 has to reach to the table 3 via table 2, can I cut down the reference to table 2 by padding that information on table 1? It makes all the sense, but you are not normalized. So looking at all these design principles, there are certain guidelines when you have to apply them. It's not a one size fit all. It's not that you take all these guidelines and start putting on your code or your application. It doesn't work that way. The beginning point for a denormalization is your database should be normalized. If it is normalized and it is still not yielding you the right results, you are finding it difficult and you want to refactor the entire application, say probably you want to go to microservices, that is a too big an effort. In that case, then go ahead with denormalization. And number two, you need to know your applications better. What I mean by that is, I have been saying you can form a derived table with an assumption that your base data doesn't change so often. That word "so often" is subjective. For me, data not changing once in a month is acceptable, but for few applications it may not be. For few applications it may be even changing every day, but it's still acceptable for a 24 hours window. So what your application is undergoing, whether it will suit to all these new design principles, is something which an application owner has to make a cautious decision, keeping the architect and the DBA side by side. It should be a collective decision. If you just lean on to this principle without understanding the risk which it brings in, if you don't write all the stored procedures, the triggers to ensure that the update happens at a holistic level, trust me, this changes will land you in a nightmare. So I'm not trying to scare you, but what I'm saying is there are options which were not available a couple of years back, but in the cloud world you do have it, which will power your application. But you need to approach it in a comprehensive way rather than in silos. And people who have practiced these designs, what they recommend is, they don't recommend us to do it at an entire database level, but to start it small. Start it applying at a table level, measure your performance. Probably it gives you a good result. You may stop it there. If not, then start incrementally applying it. And one of the very familiar examples which all of you would have come across is the read replicas. So if you have a huge database and there are transactional hits happening, as well as some analytics engine built on top of it which is trying to glean some reports, in the cloud world what they recommend is to make a read replica of the database, which is a near-time replica, and then apply the analytics engine on top of it so that the load on the database is not too heavy, slowing down the performance. Strictly speaking, this is quite opposite, or it's not abiding by the principles of normalization. Somehow in the practical world we have started digesting it, but again, all these principles again which we just saw, they are only few of them which I have enumerated. There are many, like if you are having a master record and detailed record which you have to always read it together, it makes more the sense to store the detailed record along with the master record in a single table. That is not what we have been taught in the legacy world, even in the .NET world when we were designing the databases. So we can keep talking about it, but through this podcast I wanted to give you an idea about denormalization is not bad. It helps you to give you a great performance. And similarly, if you take the case of transformation of data, we have been always talking about ETL, extract, transform and load. If you refer to the Snowflake architecture, they are doing little different than that. They are talking about ELT, extract, load and transform. In fact, a variant of it has come in saying that extract, load, verify, and then transform. So, if there is one thing which I want to leave with you as a result of this podcast, it is the time has come for us to unlearn and relearn few things. What worked for us and what took us till here may not take us in the future. So we might need to give a critical view and some of the performance boosters, which we know worked in the legacy world very well, but may not work in the same way. But every design criteria comes with a trade-off, and we need to approach it in the right way. So I will like to know your experiences. I'd like to hear from you on what you think about this podcast. If you want me to elaborate any one of it, let me know. Or if you have come across something pretty similar and want to share with our audiences, please write to me at queryshami@gmail.com. I will leave that email ID as part of the description section of this podcast. Let's stay connected. Thank you.